Good morning, Wisconsin.
Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock. James and Terry here with you. We're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Good morning. Michael Kerr here filling in this morning.
I thought it might be you, Michael. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. Staying warm so far.
Good to hear. Hopefully, we're going to get a little warmer around here. Anything is warmer than what we're dealing with right now. So we got some temperatures coming up here, it looks like.
Yeah, pretty much. So one more day of the Arctic blast to get through yet for today. We still officially have that wind chill advisory through noon for today. Still could have some wind chills down in the 20s below zero out there yet this morning. And despite some sunshine for today, we're only improving up to a high near 5 above zero by this afternoon. But thankfully, as a warm frontal boundary looks to begin to approach from the west over the next 24 hours or so, not too much of a drop in temperatures overnight tonight. In fact, looking to hold fairly steady in the lower to middle single digits. And then temperatures continue to improve into the day on Saturday, all the way up to a high of 29 degrees there for tomorrow, with partly to mostly cloudy skies. Even back to some lower 30s by the time we get to your Sunday, mostly cloudy, but still looking to stay dry there. And the clouds hang on for your Monday as well, with a mild high of 38 degrees. Chance for a light rain-snow mixture then for your Monday night. Tuesday, any of that light wintry mix ending early in the day, still milder than average with highs up to 36. And even some upper 30s for highs by Wednesday into Thursday of next work week. For the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Michael, we have our local polar plunge here tomorrow, so you're giving them a nice balmy day. I mean, I think we're going to be seeing swimsuits.
Yeah, maybe shorts are coming.
It's definitely an improvement on today. It would be pretty chilly out there.
We lucked out there. Michael, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a good one.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Appreciate them so much, especially when they give us a nice little, that's good. I'm glad you brought up the polar plunge in that, though.
Yeah, a little 25-degree swing between today and tomorrow,
not
right?
Bad.
That's
not bad.
That's not bad.
That worked out. Dodged that one.
I'm not jumping, so I can talk smart.
I got to jump one of these. No, I got to do it one of these.
Oh, you have to.
I have to.
It's pretty cool. I've done it several times, not recently, you know, like in my 20s, and we did it. And when Randy was still working, I mean, Special Olympics is the police charity of choice. So he always did it then when he was in law enforcement. But we have one of our daughters doing it tomorrow.
Oh.
And she's very reluctant about it. She's like not finding the fun in it.
I'm cheering her on. I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for all of our plungers out there. And I'm thankful to all of our plungers out there, everybody that does this every year. It's such a cool event. And I worked with Special Olympics when I was out in California, and I actually made this promise out there because I was teased all. So many Californians, not every one of them, but so many of them, like anything past Nevada, they just consider it all the same.
Of course they do.
You're talking to them about some of these things, and they just think that it's always Arctic around here. So when it came up to the Special Olympics events, you know, of course I'm going to bring a polar plunge. And like, oh, you ever done it? And I was like, no. And like, well, you have to. And when you have these participants and these kids looking at you and saying things like that, I mean, I don't know how you cannot. I would walk to the moon for them. I mean, and do it with my head up. You know, I figure it out.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, and you know, our good friend Debbie Cleworth from Family Center.
Yeah.
Her son Cole actually raised the most. He was the highest individual person. You know, he raised the most for tomorrow's plunge.
That's
very
a good story
cool.
of the day right there. That is really cool to hear. I didn't know that. That's awesome. There's a forum online where people are talking about things some people might think are a sign of intelligence, but they're actually not. This should be fun. This should be kind of interesting. Now, I will say this right out the gate. I've never met a truly, truly dumb person.
I could say a truly, truly smart person.
But I'm focusing on the dumb part.
All right.
Dumb, stupid, a lot of these terms we use, we're not supposed to use them anymore. We can get in trouble using them. We all have dumb moments. Every human being in human history.
For sure.
Einstein had dumb moments. But every single human being that I've ever met and that I've ever heard of or talked about or whatever has a moment of intelligence, has things or categories, things that they excel in, that they are smart in. I don't truly believe that there is anybody who's, quote, dumb out there. I think it's just a matter of what are you smart about? Where is your intelligence lie? It takes a big world to make everything move. We need people who are good at this, good at that, and everything. We've all got our roles to play in this world. So think that, keep that in mind as we have fun with this and tear this apart.
I was like, you're going pretty PC here. So where are we headed?
Being a contrarian, disagreeing with everything is as lazy as believing everything. So the person
I agree with that.
A billion percent.
And I have no problem with people challenging something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But not because they just do it all the time and it's exactly, I agree. I think it's just lazy. But I don't have a problem with, you know, help me understand this.
Yes.
Or that doesn't make sense to me. Or I don't agree with that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have an issue with people actually questioning. But when they just do it for everything, it's lazy.
It gets old real quick.
And think for yourself for
yes,
a minute.
Yes. Just have an original thought. Yeah. Just having a good memory or knowing a lot of trivia. Yeah. Yeah. I tell people this all the time. I could never be a critic. I could never be a movie aficionado or anything like that. Do I know a ton about movies and acting and all that? Oh, my God, yeah. Like, that's half my brain power. And there's so much going on up there when it comes to, like, movie quotes and random facts about movies or TV shows and all that. But when you're talking about, like, real specifics about certain things, I don't know. I just have a decent memory.
But isn't that kind of funny? Like, if you have a super, super good memory and you just have these, like, nuggets that you store away and they just spew them whenever. You know what I mean? Just to make yourself sound smart.
Again, so many of us are waiting for that moment to sound smart.
And it can be about such a random topic that the average person wouldn't even know. They wouldn't know better, except for the person right before this that grumbles about everything.
Yes, right. fast talking. Huh. I never thought of fast talking as a sign of intelligence or non-intelligence or anything like that.
So do you think that they're, implying that that's a strategy people use, like when they don't know what they're talking about. So if I just talk really fast about it, blah, 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 you know, like it'll just distract, like, you know what I mean? Your brain won't keep up, so you won't actually be paying attention.
That's an interesting thing. And I don't know if I've had to,
But I think it would have to be intentional, right?
Yeah,
like, don't you?
Yeah.
I think it's. Don't you get like that salesman kind of feel with that one?
Definitely.
No offense.
No, to any
salesman out there, but I'm just saying.
I think even the salesmen know what you're talking about. Using academic jargon and long-winded terminology. Just because you know a couple of fancy words doesn't mean you're intelligent. And you better make sure you're using the big words appropriately. That I have seen many people run into, especially young people. Not to be mean, but we run into this a lot with our students where we've got kids who are taking maybe classes at Columbia or Northwestern or something like that. And I think a lot of us ran into this. I was even this kid to a degree. The first couple months you're in college, the first year you're in college, and you're learning all this stuff, and you think you're the first person to ever learn it, or you can't wait to tell mom and dad, actually, mom and dad, this is the... They've heard it. They know. They know. You're not helping anything here. And you're not really that intelligent or anything. It's just, you just got some new knowledge.
Yeah.
Having a YouTube channel, it doesn't... No. No.
Did someone ever say that makes you
smart? Yeah, whoever said that. Yeah, whoever said that, that person, I question their intelligence. It doesn't make you an authority on a subject just because you have a blog or a YouTube channel about a certain subject or a podcast or any of these things. I'm not saying that stuff necessarily to the people that are doing that job. I'm talking about the people who listen to them at verbatim.
And just like drink the Kool-Aid?
Yes. Yeah. And take their word as gospel or something like that. Like, just because somebody's got a fancy podcast or something like that means nothing.
Do your own research. Yeah. Yes.
Take a look. If you need an example of this, take a look at school. How often was it in school where the most popular kids were the most intelligent kids? I'm not saying that they didn't have brains, popular kids, but when it came down to like the most, like your class valedictorian or something like that, how often is the valedictorian the most popular kid in school? Maybe it's gotten a little bit different now with we treat nerd culture and a lot of that stuff a lot better now and everything. But when, you know, especially when we were kids, that wasn't the case usually. I think that tells you a little bit right there, just looking at the way high school used to go. Education. Good grades or advanced degrees are not automatically a reflection of your intelligence. I want want to thank one of my favorite teachers of all time, Mr. Gutierrez, who was a big influence on me. I got in trouble in my first hour I was in his class. Got in trouble. Got sent not just to the principal's room. I had to go, and this is at UCLA. I not only had to talk to the dean, but I had to go to meet him in his office and talk to him. And I go in there, and I walk in, and Terry, like, the whole wall is degrees. And I'm just, I don't know, many times in my life I've been more intimidated. And I thought, not only was I going to get kicked out of school or be suspended, I'm in California. I'm like 19, 20 years. I have nothing in my pocket. I don't know where I'm going to stay.
Yeah, it's not like mom and dad are a mile away. Yeah, yeah.
And this guy took the time to hear me out, hear where I was coming from. Talked to me, and as we're wrapping up, and he must have been able to tell I was staring at his degrees and all this and stuff, and he looks at me, he's like, they're just paper. And as he's like, they're just paper. Like, it's more for, like, you know, people that are coming by or something like that and everything. And I thought that was a really good note. It's so much – how much do we remember from high school? Like, as far as, you know, things right. we learned and everything. A degree doesn't mean everything.
But it's still something that – I don't know. I think it's still important to pursue, but it doesn't automatically guarantee that you're intelligent.
If I'm talking yes. to somebody who's going to school right now, a degree is everything. A degree means a lot, and I encourage them to keep pushing forward yep. and get that degree. But to the person who feels like they are less intelligent compared to somebody with a degree, I think of Mr. Gutierrez and everything.
And yeah, absolutely. And life experience contributes as much, right? You know, to your degree, and that's really probably where the combined effort is where your intelligence comes from.
Wearing glasses. Yeah. I think we knew this one for a long time now, I think, yeah. But while wearing glasses I will say, if you are drawing a character or if you're making up a character in your head, you almost always put glasses on them.
Well, do you remember Brainy Smurf?
Yeah. I wonder how much of this stuff, like these, I don't like to use the word stereotypes, but types that we put on things in society, I wonder how many of them come from cartoons.
Yeah.
I really do. I wonder how many of these things just started because an animator thought it'd be funny to put glasses on an owl, you know, or something like that. Now we all consider owls to be intelligent. Animals, which I love owls, not exactly true. Not one of the more intelligent animal birds out there, I should say. And number 8 on the list, being old. Being old does not mean that you are intelligent. It means you're lucky. No, I'm joking.
It also might mean you're wiser, right? Because you should have learned some things along the way.
No, this is probably the one that I would push back on the most, only because if you made it this far, I completely disagree with myself that it is not luck, that it does take some intelligence. And I do think that it's not that, I know more at 45 than you do at 20. I've had 25 extra years of experiences to go through. Mm-hmm. So I just have more data. It's not about my intelligence is higher than yours or any of these things. I've just had more life experience, so I have more data to play off of.
But it probably is higher.
It is. Probably. No, I don't know. We'll take a break right here, though. That was an interesting list. We'll take a break. Is there any? Oh, real quick. Is there anything that wasn't on the list that you can think of? Because I was thinking of the quote, like when you can quote books and movies and stuff.
Sure.
I guess
you can cite certain things. Yeah.
That one is one to where a lot of, like, especially literature, like classic literature. Somebody that can quote Shakespeare or something like that, and they tend to do this when they have a moment to be in the spotlight, kind of thing, and then. I don't know.
You know, interrupting the Super Bowl party, right? Yes, watching the game or eating the snacks, yes. Trying to sound smart.
Actually, it's to be or not. Yeah. We know how the line goes.
Put a sock in it.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Stick around, everybody, after Melissa's news a little bit later in the hour. We're going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. We'll see how that goes. That should be an interesting one if we are not on the radio right now.
Well, yeah, you streamers better get your dialing fingers going.
We'll have that all coming up for you right here on the morning show at WFHR. It's time to do some Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're going to be some celebrating here right now. And we enjoy our friends over at Misty's. A big shout out to them. And a big thank you to everybody that get us these birthdays and anniversaries. We love doing this celebrating thing.
Okay, so I'm not saying that I ever heard that noise in that, but whenever I hear that one, I think of Q-Bert.
Oh, yes. Yes, 100%.
Like, it just, like, that little blob guy just pops into my head instantly.
I played that game so much, I still don't know what that game was about.
And I have no idea if it was that noise, but that's what I think of.
I'm with you on that one. That's good. Of course, our good friends over at Misty's Menu gave us an update. Well, we got an update from their Facebook page, actually, and a shout-out to Melissa doing some digging on this. They are closed Wednesday and Thursdays in February, February and first 3 weeks of March. So that's how they're going to do this for the upcoming couple months here. They're closed February 25th to March 5th. They will resume normal hours beginning the week of March 20th. But according to this, I do believe that they are open today.
Okay.
To close Wednesday and Thursdays in February, first 3 weeks. Well, it's Friday.
There you go. Friday.
I do believe they are open right now, so you can go ahead and get some good Misty's in your life. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, usually, at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them good morning from all of us. Terry, I need a 1 through 4 from you.
4.
All right. And another 1 through 4.
2.
Okay, there we go. That gives us our qualifiers so we can get right into the celebrating. And we want to first up wish a very happy birthday to Bill Seipel.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Bill, enjoy your day. Also, very happy birthday to Carol Jacob.
Happy birthday.
And a very happy birthday to Kitty Gross.
Happy birthday, Kitty.
It's a great name, Kitty Gross. I like that. And a happy birthday to our qualifier today, Randy Balco.
Happy birthday, Randy.
Enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. Kind of funny that you picked a Randy there. You didn't know. She couldn't see the list. You had no idea, but that is kind of funny. On Saturday, we get into some birthdays here. And a big shout out and happy birthday to Marissa Ewert.
Happy birthday, Marissa.
Hope you have a great day, Marissa. She's a great one. She's a good person. A very happy birthday to a guy who could not qualify because he's in Illinois, but one of my favorite directors I ever worked with, Mr. Tim Ball.
Happy birthday.
Tim was our director for And Then There Were None. And one of the more memorable scenes I've ever had in theater where our gun didn't go off and I had to figure out how to end the play and all that. The gun doesn't go off. I can't kill the bad guy. So I'm laying on the ground and all I got is my hands. So I just...
Did you choke him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
nice. I took him behind the couch and like made it look like I was choking him.
So you didn't really choke him?
No. But funny enough, the guy that I did this to, his name was Steve Martin.
Not that Steve Martin?
Nope. Oh, but okay. And also not the Steve Martin that's up in Point that I've worked with many times. Steve, classically trained actor, thespian, like all full nines, real pro, real actor's actor. I've got him, because this is all improv, and, you know, we've got a full house, including like the mayor out there and all these things, and I'm choking him behind the couch, and he's got the goofiest smile.
And he's laughing.
Yeah. And he's giving me a thumbs up, like, yeah. Like, and I'm trying to stay in character here, man. But I had the freedom and the ability to do so many of those things because I had a great director in Tim. He's one of the best I've ever worked with. Happy birthday, Tim. Hey, happy birthday to Ron Herman.
Happy birthday, Ron.
And our qualifier for Saturday, Linda Wall.
Happy birthday, Linda.
Enjoy your day, Linda. Hope it's a great one. And just one birthday to celebrate on Sunday, so we get to put the spotlight and qualifier. Kim Copeland.
Happy birthday.
Kim, we hope you have a fantastic day. Enjoy it. Let's go ahead and take a look at our celebrity list here. Isla Fisher is 47. She is the kind of psycho girl in Wedding Crashers. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
Is that something to aspire to?
Yeah, right.
Kind of psycho girl?
She was very memorable in that, though. And people, I think a lot of people mix her up with Amy Adams sometimes. But
I could see that.
She looks a little like her, but she is so darn talented. I'm a big fan of her work. Warwick Davis is 53, talking about being a big fan of people's work. All 3'6" of that giant. He is Willow. He is both Professor Fitwick and the Goblin Griphook in the Harry Potter movies, and the evil Leprechaun in the first 4 Leprechaun movies. Warwick is also the lead Ewok Wicket in The Return of the Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, and a few brief scenes in Star Wars The Force Awakens as Wolovan and Wobblin in the Star Wars Last Jedi. Warwick Davis is one of those actors that I will always admire and always look up to. He was told many, many times in his career, what work is there ever going to be for a 3'6" person?
And look at all those things you just listed.
Yeah. And almost, I would say that as far as dwarf dimorphism goes, and for actors that deal with it, that have that, the goat of it. I mean, the Cary Grant of that world and everything in many, many ways.
I had to pull up a picture because his name wasn't just catching me. So now I'm like, oh, now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, immediately you'll know. You'll know this one, too. It's, I think if you don't know her name, you'd know her if you looked her up. Moira Tierney is 58. She was Abby on ER. She was on Showtime's The Affair. She was... she's been in a bunch of different movies and things. Great actor. Very, very natural actor. One of the greatest to ever do it, I think. Nathan Lane is 67 today. God, he's so good. Nathan Lane is so darn talented. He's the only actor, out of all the movies, I've seen every single thing Robin Williams has done multiple times, way too many times. he's the only actor I've ever seen that not just hangs with Robin Williams in a scene or whatever. He's the funny guy. He made Robin Williams be the straight man.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like once in a while to see that and see a different side. Yeah.
In The Birdcage, you watch that movie. You know, Robin's got a couple scenes where it's, you know, stereotypical Robin or whatever, but he's the straight man in it. Nathan Lane is the comedic, you know, role and all that. And rightfully so, because Nathan Lane is just that talented and that funny. He was in, or he's been in the most recent, he's been a little bit in Only Murders in This Building. He's been just great in it. Like you've never seen him before. He acts in those movies. By the way, the third and final season of that is coming up. Every time they bring in new actors for these shows and everything like that, and it's usually a good name. Helen Mirren is going to be, Meryl Streep is going to be in the third season.
And what is the show?
It's basically Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. They live in an apartment building.
Okay.
A murder happens, and they're all podcasters. They love listening to podcasts.
Sure.
And they find out that they are all fans of the same podcast. So they kind of get together to talk about it. And then a murder actually happens in their building, and they think that they can sleuth it out and everything.
Got it. Okay.
And it's got the classic comedic timing of Martin Short and Steve Martin, that chemistry, along with the incredibly, amazingly, more and more talented every day I realize Selena Gomez.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I had no idea. I was very late to that party. I will root for her, watch everything she does from here out. I'm a big fan of hers. Morgan Fairchild, 73, another great actor. Dave Davies of the Kinks is 76, great singer, songwriter. Fran Tarkenton is 83, Hall of Fame quarterback, and was the host of That's Incredible, too. Fran Tarkenton.
That's right.
I forgot about that until I saw it right here. I'll admit, I didn't. That's just here in the notes.
Huh.
I will say that Fran Tarkenton is that name that you will hear every time they talk about a running quarterback. Anytime they talk about mobile quarterbacks, Fran Tarkenton was one of the first, if not the architect, of kind of the mobile quarterback. What you see now are all Fran Tarkentons. Like, there's very few Joe Burrows anymore, Tom Brady's, or these guys who sit back in the pocket a little bit. Even Joe Burrow has some sneaky speed to him and everything. And then some people no longer with us, like the great, the wonderful Joey Bishop, born in this day in 1918, passed away in 2007, old school comedian and member of the Rat Pack. Joey was the start, the kind of warm-up for Frank and Dean and Sammy and all this. Joey was also a Jewish man. And at the time, while it is well talked about that African Americans were not allowed to go through the front door, many Jews were not allowed to either. Thanks to Frank, Dean Martin was really the pusher of this, but Frank Sinatra was the head of the snake. He was the head of he was the chairman of the board. If Frank said it, Frank Sinatra said to people in Las Vegas, to people in New York, to people in Chicago, they come through with the same door I do, or you don't get us. And nobody said no to Frank. So you got to give credit to those things and give credit to a guy like Joey Bishop that literally took it on the chin through those crowds. It was great of Frank to do those things. The audiences weren't always the greatest. And being a warm-up act is never easy. Joey Bishop, darn funny. John Feeder was born in this day in 1925, passed away in 2005. He was the voice of Piglet on Winnie the Pooh. That's an awesome one. That's a good one. And Norman Rockwell, born in this day in 1894, passed away in 1978. You have all seen his work.
Absolutely.
It's very rare I can say that about a painter or an artist, but everybody's seen Norman Rockwell's work. He painted 317 covers of the Saturday Evening Post.
Wow.
That is incredible. Like, even if I did, like, I think he's a very, very good artist and everything, and I like some Norman Rockwell paintings, some more than others.
Sure.
But even if I didn't think that guy could do anything.
But that's remarkable.
That's remarkable, yeah. Right there. Like, that is impressive. Talk about a life well lived. That is very cool.
Or he worked too much.
Maybe a little. Maybe not. Yeah, now that you say it, like, yeah, it does make me wonder a little.
But they were, they're awesome. Yeah.
Taking a look at some quick Saturday birthdays. Gavin DeGraw is 46, great singer, songwriter. Oscar De La Hoya is 50, former, I believe, Hall of Fame boxer. Clint Black, 61 tomorrow.
I love Clint Black.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Lawrence Taylor is 64 tomorrow. Hmm? Alice Cooper is 75 tomorrow. I love that Clint Black and Alex Cooper have the same birthday. That's fantastic. And Rosa Parks would have been born. She would have been celebrating a birthday tomorrow. Born in 1913, passed away in 2005. And let me see if they got any February 5th birthdays for Sunday, just to real quickly take a look at this list. Cristiano Ronaldo is 38, one of the highest, one of the highest paid players, but one of the most known soccer players, most known athletes in the world. The underrated Chris Parnell is 56 on Sunday. He had 30 Rock on SNL for a long time, Cyril Figgis on Archer. He was Garth in Anchorman, when Ron swears on the air, why Ron? Like, Chris Parnell will play every role no actor wants to play, and he'll do it and he'll kill it. He'll nail it. Like, I'm a big fan of Chris Parnell. I think he's very underrated. Great character actor, great voice actor too. He does a lot of Disney stuff. A lot of your kids may be hearing him. Laura Linney is 59. I love you, Laura. I am a huge fan of hers. Huge fan. So good. Kinsey, You Can Count on Me, Mystic River, Love Actually, The Big C. Laura Linney, again, kind of underrated. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 68, single white female, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, The Hateful Eight. She's a good one. Tim Meadows is 62, the ladies' man, and so many classic sketches on SNL. Now I believe Kenan Thompson may have broken his record, but at the time, Tim Meadows had the longest stint at SNL. He was there for like 10 years, I think it was. And like his last year, they were doing this big singing monologue to intro, like the actor who was hosting, like they do the singing intros, and they cut to Tim Meadows, and he's like, why did I sign a 100-year contract? Like something like that or whatever. Christopher Guest is 75 on Sunday. He is the six-fingered man in The Princess Bride. He, of course, went on with Best in Show and Spinal Tap and so many other great things. He's married to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, okay.
He's also a Saturday Night Live alum, so got a lot of Saturday Night Live birthdays on Sunday.
Why do you think that is? Isn't that weird?
It is weird how that stuff happens, yeah. And then Roger Staubach celebrating a birthday, 81 for the legendary Dallas Cowboy quarterback on Sunday. Like a couple of greats celebrating birthdays. And you think that's a big name. Listen to, I got a couple other ones for you here. On Sunday, Red Buttons would have been celebrating a birthday, born in 1919, passed away in 2006. Trayvon Martin, born in 1995, passed away in 2012. And then, of course, Hank Aaron. Hammer and Hank, born on Sunday in 1934, passed away in 2021. Many of us will say that he is the all-time home run king. And honestly, I don't have any issue with that at all. I get it, especially here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
especially
for sure.
Here in Wisconsin. But it is not talked about. We talk about the home runs with Hank. I go back to my old co-host and Bob Look, and Bob was one of those guys that made my dad smile so much because my dad wants to talk about Hank Aaron, the hitter, and how Hank Aaron may have been the best all-around baseball player there ever was. We kind of focus on the home runs, and understandably so. But, I mean, you take a look at Hank's career, you look at his defense, you look at so many other things. It's not far-fetched to say, you know, to put him in the conversation of greatest baseball players of all time, not just a home run hitter.
Sure.
And certainly, the way he handled himself throughout that chase, all the hate that he got, all the horrible things that that man had to deal with, just because he was chasing a white man's, quote-unquote, white man's record. Spoiler alert, sports records don't belong to anybody. Like, they're all just a matter of time.
Exactly.
There are a couple records where I'd be pretty shocked to see somebody break, like, Cal Ripken's, you know, consecutive game streak or Brett Favre's consecutive game streak. But even those records don't belong to them. They're just holding on to them for now. They're just keeping them warm for the next guy. So it seems so silly to of all the things to be throwing hate at somebody for. But I admire so much of Hank Aaron, the way he handled himself throughout that whole process. Very similar to Jackie Robinson and the way Jackie handled it. Although Jackie Robinson, bit more of a physique like me, a little skinnier guy. People would shout stuff in the stands at Hank. Not a lot of people were saying stuff to his face.
Like right at his face, yeah.
You didn't talk trash to Hank Aaron's face. Yeah. Which, that's a cowardly thing, I think. It's all cowardly, but especially when you can't even say it to the man's face, which I understand why. We'll take a break right here, but one more time, very happy birthday and anniversary to everybody out there celebrating. Get us those birthdays and anniversaries. Send it to info@WFHR or James@WFHR. Direct message us on Facebook. We love hearing from all of you. Take a break, get to Melissa's news, and we'll come back and make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Lights, camera, action. It is time to make somebody a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. What Terry and I are about to do is play a famous TV show theme song. All you got to do, if you haven't won anything in 30 days, is call up 424-2600 and let us know the name of one of the actors in the TV show or the name of the TV show, really any of the above. We're not making this hard on you or anything like that.
Always hard for me.
We want to get you some free Culver's. You call up, you get this right, you'll win two Conquer Mixers, two value baskets from our wonderful friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Culver's. We say a good morning to them. Get some Culver's in your life, everybody. Let's go ahead and have some fun with this one, Terry. Everybody get ready. Get ready to call 424-2600 and let us know. I had this all set up. I had it so set. I was ready to go.
Well, there's always a commercial.
Yeah. Let's see here if you guys get this one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbemp Incorporated.
We're gonna do it. Give us any chance, we'll take it. With any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our...
I knew this one.
Yeah, 424-2600. Anybody want to call up and guess on this one? I'm guessing that because we are not on our normal radio and we're just having streaming right now, that nobody's able to call in.
Well, and plus there's a little bit of delay on the stream, so maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe they're calling right now.
Right now.
Call us right now.
Right now. 424-2600, everybody. Call up if you can answer this one.
I mean, or James and I can just go out for lunch.
You want to split it?
There's one of each.
Yeah, all right. Let's do it. All right, we're doing that.
Should I guess it?
No. Yes.
If I answer and I'm right,
we
can go to Culver's.
I feel like that's fair.
I think so.
I don't want to drag this out too long or anything like that.
I even know why you picked this one.
Yeah. We lost a great one over the week here with Cindy Williams passing away, and really, one of the more iconic TV shows of all time. It still has a 90% liking on it and everything. So let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a winner just for fun. Good morning. Do you have an answer?
Well, let me guess, Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, nice job.
Nicely done. We appreciate that.
Thanks for jumping in.
Yeah. Who do I have on the phone here? What's your first name?
My name's Ron.
Ron. How have you been, Ron?
Cold.
Yes. Good answer, Ron. Yeah. Hopefully, this Culver's will warm you up. Ron, what town are you calling us from?
Grand Rapids.
Excellent. We haven't had a Grand Rapids listener in a while. That's awesome. We appreciate that. Winner in a while. That's great, Ron. Appreciate that and appreciate you listening along. Were you a fan of Laverne and Shirley?
Oh, I watched them a little bit, I guess. But it took me a while to figure out what the song was, and I appreciate it that you were streaming it.
Oh, good.
Found out that I wasn't getting it over the air. So
we're having some trouble with our transmitter.
I think that might have given people an advantage here today.
Maybe. That's good.
Thanks for jumping on streaming.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate that, Ron. Thanks so much. Hang on the line. Going to get a little information from you. You are our star of the day.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
See? That's awesome.
That was great. That was great.
It had to be the delay.
It had. Best listeners in the radio. Every one of you out there. We appreciate it. We actually got a couple while we're talking to Ron, got another person trying to call in and stuff too. So appreciate that. Yeah, Laverne and Shirley ran for 8 seasons in the late 70s. One of the more iconic TV shows, and certainly, if you're going to talk about Wisconsin shows, I mean, there's a handful of shows that have been centered here in Wisconsin, a lot more than I think if you really stress your brain a little bit. What was the show that was, like in Rome, it was based like kind of like Picket Fences or something like that it was called?
I don't know.
I don't remember, but it was based in Wisconsin. It was like when we were kids in like junior high or high school or something like that. There's shows like that. There's been a handful of shows. Of course, that 70s show is a famous one.
Well, there was even when my kids were younger, there's a show on Disney, Livin' Maddie, and that's set in Stevens Point.
Really?
Like Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, there's more and more that's happening. And you're going to see more of it, I believe. You're going to see even more of that going forward with Midwest towns kind of being the center of places.
Yeah, cool.
We're going to talk to Ron. I'm going to get him my agent's information. But just one last time, a shout out to Cindy Williams. I really enjoyed her work. We'll take a break. We'll come back after we're done talking with Ron, and we'll have some fun with wrapping up the hour on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:48 on the clock. Terry and James here, sending a big shout out to Ron, our newest star of the day over in Grand Rapids.
Thanks a lot, Ron. We appreciate you listening.
I appreciate it.
I think I have to go next door and talk to Jennifer, though, because a little while ago it was minus 11. Now it's minus 12.
Yeah.
Michael told us it was going to get warmer.
It's supposed to get warmer out there, Jennifer. Come on. Come on. Pull up your end of the bargain. Lie to us, Jennifer. No, we're joking. I'm joking. I do love the idea of having like a minute weather, but the first 30 seconds is just lying to you or telling you about like things like, hey, spring's only 300, some odd days away or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, or the end of yoga where they're, you know, doing the little mantra. And so they're like giving you this whole zen thing. And then all of a sudden, oh, surprise, minus 12.
Actually, it's minus 12 out there, yeah. It's Friday. Hopefully you didn't work too long. You don't have to work too long or too hard this week or anything or today because it can have some serious effects on your health. We have 5 things that can happen to you if you work more than 40 hours per week. I know that this is me. I know there's many people out there.
Oh, this is me.
I didn't want to say that, but I kind of assumed that it was you.
I've tried to get better about it.
Yeah.
Even recently, in the last several months, just with everything that I've had going on, and I'm just not really good at it. I'm trying to get better at it.
There are so many people right now that have much, much more put on their plate than when they signed up for the job. I think this is something we're all used to. You apply for a job, you get it. And, you know, you find out, oh, this, and this is something that's added to the job that maybe you didn't talk about in the interview or something. That's kind of like par for the course. But then there's what's gone on in the last, I'd say, 10 years, where you look at how much more we put on our police departments that they did not sign up for, our fire departments, our EMTs, just everything from teachers to somebody working in a factory.
Sure.
Every job has gotten added on to it
or that job. Jobs don't get filled, like they don't get replaced, right? So now we've eliminated a position, but all of those things that they were doing has to be done by someone.
I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I am very honest with the audience about these things. When we were owned by Seehafer, we lost Carl, we lost Bob. Who came in to replace them? Nobody, because it's a lot cheaper to not do that. So they just added on to my job and Pam's job and Chuck's job and all that. There's a lot of that going on out there. I use all of this, and I mention all this for context for the story, but also to make no excuses for myself, because this has always been me since I was 16 years old. And
absolutely.
Even if the world was a perfect world for work and everything, I would find a way to. I know myself. I'm a workaholic. I would find something to do. So I'm very curious about this list and how my health is looking. Your risk of having a stroke or heart attack goes up. According to a 2021 study by the World Health Organization, working more than 55 hours per week was associated with 35% higher risk of stroke and a 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease compared to working 35 to 40 hours a week. Whew, 35%, that's a huge increase
right
there.
Yeah, that is.
Your risk of getting injured on the job goes up. A study found working at least 12 hours per day was associated with 37% increase in hazard rate. So you're much more likely to hurt yourself if you work a super long day.
You can see that, right? Like, you just get exhausted mentally, physically. I mean, 12-hour days are long.
And I've worked a lot of those
jobs.
And if
you're doing them consecutively, you know what I mean? Having one here or there is different than doing it 5 days in a row.
Agreed. I will say that... especially in construction, I did this. And there's no way that the first nail I hammered was the same as the last nail I hammered. Yeah,
but you got to work while the sun's up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Your mental health worsens. A 2020 study found that longer hours was connected to higher levels of stress, depression, and even suicidal ideation.
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you counter that with you work all this stuff and then you're still living check to check and something happens and you've got that albatross hanging over your head.
The stress level is high.
Like, I'm doing the right thing here. You know, I'm told by society, hey, work for your money. Hey, you know, earn that check and everything. I'm doing the right thing and I'm still struggling. I'm still behind the eight ball. Like, that's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of people feel that. Your sleep and work suffers. Multiple studies have found that when you get less than 6 hours of sleep a night, you get more distracted, anxious, and irritable, and become more susceptible to impulsively taking bigger risks. What are you laughing at, Terry? I don't understand what's so darn funny over there. You're irritating me. I'm joking. I'm just playing into the bit. I'm just playing. I obviously never get 6 hours of sleep, and I suffer for it.
I used to not be so concerned about how much sleep I got, you know, like, whatever, 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, especially, like, before kids, definitely.
Yeah.
But now, I know that I need rest.
I would love to say that I'm working on my sleep and my weight and all these things for my own self and all that. It's my kids. I think about my kids as soon as these things pop in my head. It's the first thing to pop in my head, and I'm like, I got a job to do. I got to be around. Like, whatever, even if they don't need me for 20 straight years, in that 21st year, if they need me for something, I got to be there. That's my job. So I got to start sleeping more, eating better, all these things.
I also don't feel bad about anymore. Like, it used to maybe bother me, like, if I declined to do something. You know, like, maybe it was a work night or whatever. And now I'm like, nope, got to go to bed.
I just had this happen the other
like,
day.
I mean, right? I don't feel bad about it because I need to go to bed.
My one of my oldest friends, Will, we will stay up late and work on comedy bits in his for his routines and everything. And I love working with him. I love doing it. I had to say no the other day. I was like, no, I got to try at least to get some sleep. I have to work on this. And I love hanging out with him. We don't get a chance to do that very often, but got to kind of do it. And you stop being good at your job. A 5-year survey of 5,000 employees and managers across several different industries found that working between 30 and 50 hours can improve someone's performance. But if they work more than 50 hours, their job performance starts to plateau. And if they work more than 65 hours a week, their performance sharply drops off. I mentioned earlier, I was rambling about a bunch of different jobs that are being asked of different things. You may notice your mail coming at odd times. There's another industry that has been hit over the head by this, and there's very few people in that industry right now that aren't working 50-plus hours. We see a lack in this industry, and this isn't rocket science of how to fix this or how to make this work. People would work less if they were paid a legitimate wage. And I think all this stems back to, what is the answer to all of your questions? Money. And if people were paid better, obviously you can go ahead and throw back at me, oh, lazy this, or oh, this kind of person, or oh, that. Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Because there's always going to be some of that.
Always going to be some of that. There's no industry in the world that doesn't have some bad apples to it. It also has got some good apples to it.
Absolutely.
And it's easy to focus on the negative sometimes. I think the only way we fix this kind of thing, this solution, is one, us as people doing it. I'm not talking about any like big miracle or anything like that. It's going to take work. It's not a one-trick solution. There's a many, many layers to this to make these things better. I may simplify it a little bit, and because I got like 3 minutes to talk before we got to go to the break. But that's okay. We got to get over the idea of if it isn't easy and quick, I don't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of people that don't want to put any skin in the game.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, I think that that is an issue. But it also is exactly what you said before. It's not just because people are lazy. There's a lot of challenges, and there's a lot of other things, right? Like, you never really know what's going on with someone else, right?
Yeah.
So they might have some mental health challenges. Stress levels might be high. And there might be a whole bunch of different things that are weighing on people that's keeping their performance from being 100% or keeping them from pursuing something else, right?
Right.
Because that's always an option, right? It is to look at where might there be a better wage, or where might there be a better opportunity. But I think a lot of things in this article really kind of, you know, resonate with me when I think about myself and when I think about the people around me, you know. But yeah, for me, definitely is setting some boundaries for myself with amount of time worked. And I'm not one, like, I'm not just, you know, hanging out sipping on coffee in my office. Like, I'm busy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm not using my time well, but sometimes it just is like, whoa, I gotta step away a little bit.
Not to say it's okay in any industry or whatever the job is that you do out there to work over these hours or over the 40-hour limit or anything. But we say these things, and then a week or two from now, and our patterns haven't changed. I think that's also understandable. We got a job to do.
Absolutely.
You look at what you. I don't even want to pretend and understand everything that goes into being a CEO of a business, let alone a nonprofit, where you gotta. I mean, almost every day on the job for you is I've got this, and I have this and this and this counting on me. Like, businesses, it's a tough gig and all that, and there's a lot on your plate. I understand that, but with a nonprofit, it's a lot more. Like, there's a literal difference of keeping the lights on and continuing to do the work you want to do for your community and not being able to. That's a lot on somebody's plate. That's a lot on somebody's shoulders. So I think it's very understandable that you would have to work or would want to work extra hours. But that's where, I don't know how you counter that. I don't know what the healing of that is or how to stop that from happening other than, you know, what you're saying, you know, just trying to separate some stuff. But even then, that's not easy to do.
No, it's not. And I try to, like I said, I try to have a little self-discipline, you know, so then I'm going to do this or then I'm going to do this. And, you know, but it doesn't change the pile.
No. The pile's still there.
So I'll still work on the pile.
I do think, though, that we have to start working on this and this idea that the only way you're a true American, the only way that you're really a good worker is if you work 40-plus hours a week or whatever.
You know what?
That's ridiculous.
Be a good, reliable worker for 38 or 40 hours.
Right.
You know, and yes, I mean, some people's schedules are as such that they have to work longer, you know, 50 hours, 55 hours. But you know, if you really think about how you use the time – if you have the opportunity to work less hours and still, you know, get everything done, then I think that's smart.
We'll take a break right here. We'll wrap up the hour, get to some good stuff coming up. We got a bunch of That Ain't Right. We got a feature That Ain't Right story. It's a good one. Got some good stories of the day as well. And we'll touch on a little entertainment news. All that coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.